Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Friends, whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad you found your way to this worshiping community. And you can learn more about how we are church together. In your bulletin, there is a calendar and announcements. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table to receive any of your questions following worship today. A lot of wonderful things going on this morning. A note about worship, we are celebrating Stewardship Sunday today, so if you did bring your pledge card with you, we would ask that you would place it in the offering plate as the offering is being received. It's okay, you forgot your pledge card. No need to panic. There are plenty of them out in the brochure rack in the hallway. You can fill that out and slide it under the door to the counters following worship today. So no worries. Also, a note about our worship today. Our senior high Sunday school class will be leaving worship at about 10:30 this morning. They are heading over to Temple Sinai as part of their learning about world's religion class this year to meet with Rabbi Till. So you'll see a few senior highs wander out from time to time here. A few other announcements as we get started this morning. Let's see. I think we're going to go with you first. Yep, Linda. We'll try to go chronologically by season.
Hi, my name is Linda Beatty, and I'm here to talk to you about the Church Mouse Bazaar. You have the volunteer sheet. We still can use volunteers, and it's this Saturday, the 19th, from 9 to 3:30. And we can use help on Friday evening, Saturday afternoon. Those are the big where we move all the furniture out of all the rooms and place it all in the sanctuary. And then on Saturday, we put it all back in the room. So we can always use hands for that. I know that the traffic control is okay. They've got a number of people. Baked food sale, the baked foods, we can always use with that. We have some wonderful crafts at the show. So please come and tell your friends. I think there's flyers out on the little table in the foyer. We have jewelry. This is one of the items I bought a number of years ago that I just love, and earrings. But we also have crafts, different types of crafts that you can give for gifts. We have home decor. There's numerous things. It's quite a variety. So please come and help us and help the church. Thank you.
Peter.
Yes, good morning. Peter Derry. And I'll be handing out and selling tickets. Well, it's not selling tickets. It's a suggested donation of $3 for an event, July 64. And it's a movie about the 64 race riots here. And it's being sponsored by Laurelton Presbyterian Church, Gates Presbyterian Church, and Third Presbyterian Church. It'll be 2 o'clock next Sunday at the Cinema Theatre, and that's on 957 Clinton Avenue, South Clinton Avenue. So I will be down in the Fellowship Hall, and I'll wear a carnation so you can recognize me in these two.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks.
Good morning. So I'm from this year's Jamaica team, and as we're getting closer to our trip, we're also starting to reach some of our fundraising goals. So I'd like to point out the brightly colored board in the entryway and encourage you all to take an envelope from that and then fill it with the suggested donation or donation of your own discretion and put that in our passing baskets during worship so you can help us reach our goals and help people in Jamaica. Thank you.
Chris? Chronologically, trying to work us from Thanksgiving to Advent.
We're moving into Advent now. I'm Chris Ullman on behalf of the worship team. It's in the bulletin. Just a quick reminder, if you're interested in just helping out with some very easy tasks the week or two around Christmas, we're going to meet in the adult lounge very briefly after church to give you more information. If it's a great fit for you, wonderful. If not, that's okay too. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies of the church. Sorry, men. I'm up here to talk about selling tickets for the Women's Candlelight Dinner. We have it every year. This year it's going to be at the Whittier Party House. The tickets are $21. Our entertainment this year is going to be Ray the Harpist. I understand he played last week and was wonderful, and I've heard him too. We also will be collecting for Willow, which used to be ABW. And I'm always looking for someone at the end of the evening to actually collect all the items and take them there for us. So if anyone can do that at the end of the evening, we'll help you load up your car so you can take them there. But see me in the fellowship hall. I'll be selling tickets all the way to the first Sunday in December. Thank you.
And friends, as we gather in this place together as a community of faith, we are reminded what brings us here to begin with, our faith and our love in God, from whom all blessings flow. Let us sing together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Please join me in the call to worship. Friends, we gather this morning to proclaim.
Praise to thee, fierce, generous God.
Sing to the Lord with joy.
Our God alone is Lord of all.
Let all the earth celebrate and rejoice.
Remind us again of your vision of the world, where all live sharing peace, justice,
We are called to participate with God in the wonders of all the earth. May we be fearless stewards of all that God has given us.
We come singing God's praise. We come as broken people, bringing all that we are to God and to one another in prayer. Please join me in the prayer of confession. We are so scattered, O God. We flit from cause to cause. We are easily distracted by the next important thing. We think about yesterday and tomorrow, but not today. Help us to be mindful of the grace and beauty that surrounds us right now. Help us commit to the need that is before us right now. Help us to think deeply and respond generously as you have loved us deeply and forgiven us generously. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, God is our strength and our salvation. God's anger is turned away, and in its place we find comfort, steadfast love, and forgiveness. With this hope we live fearlessly with generosity that comes from God's salvation. Amen. At this time, I would like to invite Owen Joseph Castrino, son of Sharon and Joe Castrino, to the font, please. And why don't I take the little ones up here, too, because otherwise you guys can't see. So if the children want to come forward as well, you are welcome to. Come on down. So I have you guys sit. Can you guys all sit over here? Perfect. There we go. Perfect. Okay. So after the baptism, guys, I want you to stay right here because we are going to have a story afterwards with Mrs. Bander, all right? So just make sure you don't take off. We'll just stay right here, all right? Don't fight. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, to the close of the age, obeying the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and confident in his promises. We baptize those whom God has called. In baptism, God claims us, seals us, to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and his resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. So let us remember with joy our own baptism as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of the session, I present Owen Joseph Castrino, Sharon, son of Sharon and Joe Castrino, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Joe and Sharon, do you desire for Owen to be baptized? In relying on God's grace, you promise to live the Christian faith and teach that faith to him?
Do you, as members of this Church of Christ, promise to guide and nurture Owen by word and deed with love and prayer, encouraging him to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful member of this church? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Joe and Sharon, in presenting Owen for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and embrace the covenant God has established to give us new life. As God embraces you within the covenant, I ask that you reject sin, to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, and to confess the faith of the church, the faith into which we baptize. Sharon and Joe, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And do you trust in him? And do you intend for Owen to be his disciple, to obey his word, and to show his love? Let us pray. God, our holy parent, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament, for the hope we have in your Son, Jesus. As we baptize with water, baptize us with the Holy Spirit, so that what we say may be your word and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be made one with Christ our Lord in common faith and purpose. Eternal God, you nourish and sustain all living things with this gift of water. Your spirit hovers and moves, calling forth order and life. May all who splash in these waters experience new life through you. Amen. I know that light is not very nice. What is your son's name? Owen Joseph, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. This is a child of God now received into God's church. See what God has given us. Let us pray. Almighty God, giver of life, you called us by name, and you pledged to each of us your faithful love. We pray for your son, Owen. Watch over him. Guide him as he grows in faith. Give him understanding and quick concern for his neighbors. Help Owen to be a disciple of your son Jesus, who is baptized your son and servant, and who is our risen Lord. God of grace, we pray for these parents, Sharon and Joe. Help them to know you and your love, and to teach your truth and tell the story of Jesus to their child. For all this, we give thanks. Amen. I introduce you to Owen. Yes, we've got it. Join and sing together in singing Wonder of Wonders. Can you stand up with me? So, those of you who have not met a friend of mine and of this church, a longtime member of this church, come on over. We're going to sit right here. I'd like to introduce you to Mrs. Vander. And today, Mrs. Vander is going to share a story with
us. Hello, boys and girls. It's good to see you. Can someone tell me what holiday is going to be here in 11 days?
Yes.
Thanksgiving, right. I have a little story about a boy named Jimmy. Jimmy and his parents were sitting at the kitchen table one day talking about Thanksgiving, who they were going to have, grandparents and uncles and aunts, and what they were going to eat. And Jimmy was getting so excited. Next day he went to school and he was in the lunchroom and he saw a boy over there. Okay, is this working? He saw a boy over there at the lunchroom table all by himself. So he went over and he says, "Hello, I'm Jimmy. What's your name?" And he goes, "I'm Jose." And Jose said, "I just came here yesterday from South America. My father got a job." Well, Jimmy was very nice. He sat down with the boy, and they talked, and he was telling about Thanksgiving. And Jose had no idea what he was talking about. And Jimmy told him it was when the Pilgrims and Native Americans had their first meal together after the first harvest. And he said, "Oh, it is such a nice time." So Jimmy went home that night and was telling his parents about Jose. And Jose looked at their father, and then he smiled, and he says, "Jimmy, would you like to invite Jose and his family to join us for Thanksgiving?" Well, Jimmy got so excited. This was great. Next day, the mother went to school and talked to Jose's mother as she brought Jose to school. And all for the next 10 days, Jimmy and Jose were so excited. Finally, Thanksgiving came. And at 2 o'clock, the doorbell rang, and there was Jose, his mother, and father with a big dish of from South America food. And the mother thought, "Boy, isn't this wonderful? We'll put this with our American food, just like the first Thanksgiving when they had the Pilgrims and the Native American food." They had such a great dinner, and at the end, the father said, "I would like everybody to go around the table and give one thing that you are thankful for this year." The family went around and said health and family, and it came to the two boys. Jimmy and Jose looked at each other and smiled and said, "New friends." They were so excited. After everybody left, Jimmy went to his mother, gave her a big hug, and his father, and said, "Thank you so much. This was the nicest Thanksgiving we've ever had." Now, after we say our little prayer, I have bracelets for you. I'd like you each to take two. Keep one and give one to a friend or someone that really needs a smile. This will always remind that friendship is one of the very important things that we learn from Thanksgiving, and it should go through all the year. Now, can you say after me? Dear God, thank you so much for family. Thank you so much for our church. And thank you for friends, new and old. Amen. Well, thank you. Here.
The first reading is Psalm 98. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
And our second scripture reading, yes, this Stewardship Sunday, from the Gospel of Luke. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the day will come when not one stone will be left upon another. all will be thrown down. They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And Jesus said, "Beware, you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places, famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you, persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." Is God's word for us this morning. You might at this point be wondering, joy to the world? Really? Have I caved to the fast forward from Halloween to Christmas, leaving Thanksgiving behind? As you can see from the table, that is not the case. Is this a commentary on the outcome of the presidential election? I think you know me a bit better than that. The scripture for this morning, both of them, are lectionary. And the hymn was chosen at the suggestion of seminary president and theologian David Lose prior to Wednesday. But I confess, later this week, I considered changing all of it. But the truth of the matter is that their shared message is an important one following this incredibly divisive election season. Though we normally exuberantly sing this hymn on Christmas Eve, it sounded a bit different this morning. But I hope you'll be able to hear that its message is quite fitting to help us live into this fearless generosity we've been talking about this stewardship season, not only this morning, but in the days and months and years to come. So do what you will with the joy. The message I would like to focus on this morning is simple. It's the next words following. The Lord is come. I'm going to guess most of us actually don't know that that hymn wasn't meant to be a Christmas classic. Isaac Watts composed the song in attempts to translate and set the Psalms, the Psalter, to new music, which way back in his day was all the rage at the time. But believe it or not, most churches wouldn't even sing his music. They thought it to be a modern-day equivalent to praise music. But Watts was inspired by Psalm 98. He wrote to celebrate Christ's coming, not necessarily the first one, but the second. The hymn reminds us that God is active in the world now, ruling the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. The Lord is come. And the disciples were looking for signs of what it would be like when the Lord is come. When would this take place, Jesus? They ask him. How will we know? And to the disciples, this is not exactly how they imagined God's kingdom would come. In the story of the Gospel of Luke, where we are at, Jesus has actually made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He is about to be handed over to his enemies and crucified. The Lord is come. And Jesus offers some really hard things to his disciples that are put together in what here in chapter 21 is called the little apocalypse. There they are standing by the temple in Jerusalem, and Jesus talks to his disciples about the things that will come, the family members that will betray them, how they will be hated and handed over and killed, that there will be wars, there will be frightening natural events, and even the great and beautiful temple for which they give their heart and so much of who they are and their lives and their livelihoods, even, yes, that, the place where they believe God to dwell, will be destroyed. And they can hardly bear to hear all that will happen. And yet Jesus' message remains clear. The Lord is come. Luke is himself offering us these words of Jesus and communicating to those who would follow him, to the times in which we live, as opportunities to proclaim and to bear witness, he says. The Lord is come to work and to offer a vision of a future which is held within the vision of the kingdom of God and calls us forth into transformed communities in and through and beyond the pain and the suffering, the war, calamities, and divisions. Friends, we are called to live a life of Christian discipleship, claiming just that, that God cares and has given to us a world to help make it different tomorrow than it is today. This is the good news of stewardship. That we have this opportunity to give with fearless generosity our time and our energy, our money and our gifts, to bear testimony to our faith that the Lord is come. And so we do. We give with fearless generosity because we trust in this God and in the wisdom provided, that in those times we might bear witness to the world God loves, in which Christ became incarnate. Our trust in God calls us into work where we partner with God in bringing to bear a reign of justice and love and peace. And the message of this gospel is not one for just us as individuals sitting in the pews, but is a collective witness, one that is called together in community, one in which we understand together the work of facing oppression and abuse. I was struck with Dr. William Loder's commentary he wrote a number of years ago on this text for today. He wrote that this trust that we have in God has profound implications. They are personal implications, but they are also political, social, and religious ramifications. Luke has not withdrawn into individualism. He, the text that he writes, still weeps for Jerusalem and longs for its liberation. He is prepared to be inventive, to tackle the madness of fear and hate and fanatical theologies that it generates in Luke's time. And he keeps their feet to the ground about abuse. But notice how he stands in a tradition which tackles enmity in a way that is not off-centered by fear or hate, but informed in the stillness, the wisdom of the Spirit. And that shift then from quantity of time to quality of being in all times and in all places is what this gospel message is about. The Lord is come. Then, here, now, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we are reminded that as we make our proclamations of Jesus Christ, as we go out into the world to bear this witness, as we speak and have confidence in the actions and the words that the Spirit will guide and give us, the Lord is come. The deep connectedness and willingness to rest that God is here in times such as these. Because here's the thing. We're gathered here in this room together. You have neighbors. Look around. No, really. Look around. Look at your neighbors. None of them are wearing on their t-shirts or blouses or nice shirts today who they voted for. The likeliness is that we are a community gathered here this morning made up of incredible differences. We reflect here at Gates Presbyterian Church in so many ways our nation, deeply divided. We know from the last few weeks and months, possibly even years, that these divisions have affected our families and our communities, and we are struggling with basic questions. Who are we as people? What does it mean to be an American? What does it mean to be a child of God? This morning, I don't want us to rush to the joy to the world part of this song, in this empty call for unity of can't we all just get along? We know thinking about what our Thanksgiving Day table is going to be like in just a few days, that is not how it works. For us to live as a community of faith that sings, that embodies in our very being, that the Lord is come, we've got work to do. We've got to listen. We've got to listen to where there is pain. We have to speak out where hatred is singling out people and communities for their skin colors and their faith traditions. We need to be able to stand beside those who are being accused of being less than a person because of who they choose to marry. We in our own hearts need to feel deeply and grieve alongside those who have lost family members to violence. And friends, we must teach our children how to keep their eyes open for other little kids, just as Joanne gave that wonderful story to our children, to keep their eyes open for those who are sitting by themselves on the playground or are being hurt with words and actions in the hallways. To be the church in the world today. To support that with all the gifts that God has given to us means to gather together and to boldly witness that the Lord is come. That the Lord has come for Republicans and Democrats, rich and poor, women and men, young and old, persons of all races and genders and sexual orientations and physical abilities, immigrants and their children, Muslims and Jews, evangelicals and atheists. We do this because just a few moments ago we stood together with this family and this beautiful child of God and said that we believe that those waters of baptism assure Owen and all of us that God is in our lives, that the Lord is come. It is there at the font and it is there at the table that we proclaim who we believe we are as children of God. And our identity as Christians is found there, in those places and in those promises, those words of affirmation. And we hold on tightly to those visible signs of water and bread and the invitation from Jesus that all are welcome to find nourishment of faith and hope. Who we are as the church is more important than ever. Because when we are here in this room, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And the promises of Scripture remind us that we are not united by gender or race or economic status or political affiliation, but by faith. Faith and trust that God created all things, all people, sustains all things and all people, and will redeem all things and all people because God's overwhelming love is for us all. But we also have work to do. When we leave this room, we need to be the church, the body of Christ. We will dare to live with fearless generosity, giving all that we can to listen, to learn from one another, to treat one another with respect, to be a safe place, and to love one another as God first loved us. Because, friends, the Lord is come.
Thank you.
We come, friends, to gather around this table assured that God continues to speak to us, to listen to us as we share together our prayers of joy and our prayers of concern. If you have one you'd like to share aloud, please raise your hand. An usher will be with you and to share those.
Kate Stanford, I've been asking prayers for the couple that have been battling cancer, and he passed this spring. She passed 2 weeks ago. So if you could please keep in prayer their children, who now have neither parent at the age of 16 and 19. Thank you.
Prayers for those children and the family and the death of their parents.
Christine Cook, back in July, I had asked for prayers for my mother-in-law, Ernestine Cook. She had a massive heart attack at the time and was in a coma for several weeks. And now we're at a point where she's moved into a new apartment. I brought her on Friday to go and visit her friends at work. She's up and moving and just making a lot of progress. And I wanted to thank everyone for your prayers and update you on her situation. Thank you.
Continued prayers for her ongoing recovery.
Tammy Andalovsky, I'd like prayers for Mr. Wayne Blatt. He is the director of Flower City Ballet, and Melina has been dancing with him for the past almost 4 years. He's in the last stages of colon cancer and is in palliative care. The company is still working, though, towards their annual Nutcracker production, and so hopeful that maybe he'll be able to attend and see this. He's a wonderful man. He's inspired so many young dancers. He's given to the community. So just prayers of comfort and peace.
Prayers for Mr. Blatt. Not seeing any other hands. We do have prayers. Oh, your hands can go up. That's okay.
I would like for prayers for my coworker, Dave Lennox, who was just diagnosed with cancer, and they found it had spread throughout his body.
Prayers for Dave and his family. Oh, got one over here.
Dave Keeling, joy and concern. So many of you know my grandfather. He hasn't been doing well physically. He got diagnosed with bone cancer and prostate cancer. So, yeah, just prayers for him, please. But a joy is that it's good to be back here. I've been worshiping over at Pierce with a bunch of friends from school. So, but it's always good to be home.
Welcome
so that's a joy.
Come home. From our children this morning, prayers of joy for doing something special with Dad. Prayers for a dad's safe travel back home from Texas. Lots of dads traveling. Prayer of joy for another one that has come home. Prayers of joy for birthday celebrations, hair dye, and trips to Disney World. Amen. Let us continue our time of prayer. Breathtaking and ever gracious God, we experience you in the contradictions. You are the wild hope of our dreams and the restless agony of our souls. You accept the praises of the floods and storms, and you hover in love over places of devastation. You command us to love our neighbors, but warn us nation will rise against nation. For the complexity that is yours, for the contradictions with which we wrestle this morning, we pray, O God. We look to you for guidance. As we breathe together in this moment of prayer, we pray for the patience and the wisdom to wait and to wonder without answers, to fearlessly give with our trust in you, to offer thanksgiving for your unfailing grace. And this morning, O God, we offer prayers for the service of our veterans and active service members for the sake of freedom. We cry out to you wishing there was no need for soldiers, but the need is still there, and so we pray. We pray for those who have lost their lives, for their families who remain. We pray for those with injuries and no easy access to adequate health care. And for ourselves, dear Lord, we ask for forgiveness.
because we have taken for granted these ones who fight on our behalf and have judged from peaceful places of our living rooms. With the psalmists and with our teacher Jesus and the whole host of witnesses across Scripture, we claim in prayer and thanksgiving that the mystery is yours and all that is in it. We trust you in all that we do not know or understand and join you in working out of healing of justice and peace. We pray all this in the name of your Son who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. I said that God hears our prayers and our concerns, so little ones have concerns to give voice to as well. It is such a great joy when we have our little ones with us. They remind us that God is a God of life and energy and joy. Let us now give out of the abundance that God has blessed us with in thanksgiving as we receive this morning's offering and also your pledge cards of commitment.
Dear God, in grateful thanks for your generosity, your love, and your care, we offer these gifts. May they allow us to accomplish abundantly in your name. Amen.
Lord is come, and we go from this place assured of the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ our Lord, and the courage of the Holy Spirit that it takes to live, to love, to walk humbly with God always. Amen.
Are you a big help?